Okay, Chris is on. Warren?
Here.
Jim?
Here.
Josie?
Where's Jim?
He's there. Josie? Paul?
Paul, yes.
Brenda? Up here. Bailey?
Here.
Samantha?
Here.
Tom?
Here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, who do we have in the King Cobra office?
You've got Jackie, me, Chris, and then Warren and Seward Jr.
Okay, thank you. Colby?
That's the door.
Delphine Lagoon?
Me here.
Okay, thanks, Sam. False pass?
Tom.
Thanks, Tom. In the standpoint, we have Beverly, Paul, and Alvin. Actan. Anchorage.
Yes, my Ostrogoth, you've got myself, Annie. There's Ernie. Daly is here. Charlotte. Joy Mariner with BDO. And Jim Smith. And Talia will join us shortly.
Okay. Thank you. We need a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Chris. I make a motion. We adopt the agenda.
Second, Warren. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Warren.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. I'm online. There's no phone service in the city. I'm on my cell at the city office. This is Josie.
Okay, thank you, Josie. Paul?
Yes, on the agenda, there was some conflicting emails, not necessarily about this meeting, but the next couple, so this is as good a place, Eddie, just to make sure, at least I understand when our next meetings are, what is on the agenda. But real briefly, and then Annie's memo that she put, I think she clarifies it on that last memo that she had in the packet. However, on the 20th, we have a workshop in finance on the email, but there's also a special meeting at the same time.
Yeah. So on the 20th, and it needs to be adjusted on our agenda here. It's basically under 18 where you have next meeting dates. It just shows October 16th, special meeting. But actually, it should have one. September 20th is the special meeting that's going to take place at Anchorage over at APIA. And then at 6 in the evening, 5 o'clock? Okay, so the special meeting will take place at the borough office in Anchorage at 5 p.m. And with that, we'll also have an executive session. And that needs to be added in.
And just to clarify, the workshop on finance is not going to be part of the regular or the special meeting then. It's just a workshop separate. Okay, so we won't take any action, just a workshop.
Yeah, it's just a workshop.
Okay, and then those. Okay, that clarifies on record now, so that's great.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay. So that should be all we need to clarify on the agenda, right? Added in. Any other corrections or anything on the agenda from anyone? Okay. So with that addition to the agenda, unless there's any objection, the agenda will stand as amended. Okay, thank you. Any public comment at this time on agenda items? hearing none. So, anyone feel like they have a conflict of interest with any agenda item? Okay. So, Annie, I'm going to turn it over to you, and we're down to presentation, so we'll have the FY23 audit presentation by CDO.
Yes, thank you. We have Joy Mariner with us. There was a link sent out to everyone, so you guys should have the PowerPoint presentation, and I will go ahead and pass it off to you, Joy.
Okay, thank you. So, hi, everyone. I'm Joy Mariner, and I'm the managing partner of the Anchorage office of BDO, and I actually serve as the second partner on the audit of the borough. And Vicky Schlesa is the lead partner, and he and George, manager, are both in Petersburg this week working on their audit. So we wanted to be here in person so that you could ask any questions you may have, but I'm very familiar with your engagement as well. I actually served as a partner in the past. So really our goal is to kind of sit down with you, tell you what's going on for 23's audit. We've just gotten started on the process for 23 and give you a chance as the assembly to let us know if there's anything that you want us in particular looking at. So this is the audit planning process for 2023's audit. We have fieldwork scheduled over a couple of weeks to work on the actual audit testing. And this document is really just going to walk you through what kind of the audit is and what we're responsible to do. But if you turn over to audit strategy, which is page 6, one more. There's a lot of words in here. A couple of big things just to know is that we're looking for risk of material misstatements in your financials. The biggest things we look at are things that are new or unusual, also things that are more susceptible to risk. So, for example, we look at your cash controls really carefully. We look at what we call super users, people who can do a lot in your IT system, in your software, in your financial software. And then maybe if somebody has the ability to sign checks and also enter vendors, for example, we would look at any new vendors or vendor changes from last year to this year. So we use risks to identify what we need to do for procedures. And then some procedures are just standard and audit. We confirm with your banks, for example, how much, if you say you have $500,000, we send a letter to the bank and say, do they have $500,000? And the bank says yes. So there's external verification, there's internal verification to supporting documents, and then certain amount of risk kind of assessment we do to determine the extent of our procedures. All of your payroll has a chance of being selected as a sample. All of your expenses do. We look pretty carefully at revenues. And if you turn to the next couple tabs, and I won't spend too much time on this, but we actually use a lot of electronic auditing processes now. This is just a couple of them. We use an online portal to track what we've requested and what they've given us, kind of a project management tool. But then we're also using data analytics now where we can take your entire general ledger and we dump it into a Microsoft Power BI, and then it will do some reconciliations for us where we used to have to do that kind of manually in Excel. A lot of those things are happening more on an automated basis. And those data analytics will pull the kind of needles out of the haystacks where instead of just selecting a sample of 40, we're going to also look at these three that look weird, where it's a little easier to see when you have a data analysis tool doing that for us. So in terms of our planned scope, if you go to the next page, the other direction, and if you would go down to. Again, these are really little. I don't really know why it has to be so little for you. But a couple of big things to know that are new. The big thing that's new is GASB 96. So last year we spent a lot of time on GASB 87, which was the new lease standard. Nobody liked it. I can't find a single person who felt like it was a valuable thing. It is a ton of work to implement GASB 87. It was last year. And this year your team will need to update those for any new leases and revisit the lease schedule you have to make sure that there aren't any changes in assumptions. But then on top of that, this year you have GASB 96, which is very similar. So what happened with the lease standard is you had to accumulate a list of all your leases, and then you actually recorded assets and liabilities. So if you had a copier lease, let's say, there were a lot of bigger leases than a copier lease, but this one's easy to think about. You technically, let's say it's a 5-year lease, you have the right to use that copier for 5 years. So you would book a right-of-use asset, for the on the one side, so the copier, and then you have a liability or almost like debt to pay that lease over that 5-year period of time, and it's discounted to present value using a discount rate, almost like debt. And that was happening for all sorts of leases, some of which you were the leasor, where you're leasing to others, some where you're the lessee, where you have kind of this right-of-use asset or a receivable and a, basically an obligation to let someone else use that asset. Basically blew up everybody's balance sheets. In my opinion, a bunch of make-work, but I don't make the national standard. So but GASB 96 does the same thing with software. So Sabita is, you know, software-based IT arrangements. And what we're looking for here is subscriptions to IT systems. We're seeing this with, even with Microsoft 365. We're seeing it with some cybersecurity subscriptions, with server online cloud of storage, all sorts of things. So it's basically saying the same thing. If you have these IT-based arrangements and they are more than 1 year in duration, you have to record essentially an asset and a liability the same way you would with GASB 87. Seems to be a little bit less complicated than we have found with GASB 87, because you guys, I have to say that municipal governments in Alaska have been very creative with your leases. You've got tide land leases and building leases and port leases and all sorts of great leases that were very hard to account for. We're hoping that the software-based IT arrangements are a lot more straightforward. So it's called Sabita. We have several templates we've been sending out to our clients to assist them with it. But that's the big new thing this year. Otherwise, we'll still do a federal single audit. You still have your pension information, which has already been released now by the state, so that should not hold us up in any way. And we'll be following fairly standard audit procedures otherwise. In terms of timeline, we've already started on some planning. Is there 2 pages of plan scope? I mostly have covered that one, Annie. And then overall timeline, we've got, you know, we've already started those procedures. We're on site at the end of September, I believe. And then, you know, really this year we're pushing to have everyone who is ready out by end of December. So that assumes, and your team is usually pretty on board and on track. So GASB 96 is the main thing I think that could slow us down a little bit, just depending on the status of your team's preparation on that. But, yeah, we're hoping now that we don't have leases or COVID or ARPA or any of those weird, terribly new things, this year can be a little bit more straightforward than we've seen in recent years. With that, I'll kind of open it up to you. There is more information here about just making sure we're independent and your team is listed there, same team as last year. There is also more information about GASB, some of the upcoming GASBs, but GASB 96 is primarily the one that applies to you for this year. And with that, I really just want to open it up to you as an assembly and find out if there's any concerns that you have, any areas of particular interest that you'd like us to focus on while we're working on the audit. We do work for you as the assembly. You're those charged with governance, and auditors work for those charged with governance. We work with management pretty closely, but our goal is to make sure that you know, we're hearing from you anything that's within our scope, obviously, that you'd like us to focus on. We're happy to do that.
Okay. Okay, thanks. So open it up for the assembly for questions. Okay. I don't hear anyone with questions on any of this. Annie, you have any?
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that was a lot of information really fast, so I guess since there's no questions, well, thank you for the report.
Yep, and we'll be back hopefully in January with the full audit report and the results. And then typically our team will reach out to you, Mr. Mayor, just with a just a specific inquiry. So if you do have concerns, please, you know, forward those along, and we're happy to address any of those as we get moving along on the audit.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're down to minutes of the meeting. So before us, we got August 17, 2023 minutes. We need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor.
I'll make a motion, Mrs. Josie.
Thank you, Josie.
I'll second, Mrs. Daly.
Thank you, Daly. If you had a chance to go over the minutes of the meeting, anybody see anything in there that bothers them? If not, question on the motion.
Brenda? Chris?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Again, record show, Brenda is at the meeting.
Yes, yeah. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Okay, we have the financials for July 2023. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Daly.
Okay. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll track an assembly. Before you are the July 2023 financials. This is the first month of our new fiscal year. Just a few things to point out is in on the very first page under R01201 interest revenue, we have made $113,000 in interest revenue based off of how we have our funds invested at the moment. So that is fantastic news. That's great. That's what we were hoping for. So I just wanted to point that out. The other one is for the raw fish tax, also on page one. In July, we received $414,000, which is about 41.1% lower than the five-year average. So we have came in significantly less than we have over the last 5 years. So just something to keep in mind there. Other than that, it's the first month. Everything is currently tracking where it should. And if there's any other questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions on finances, Paul?
Yes, sir. Annie, I think I asked at the previous meeting. However, I'll ask again, I suppose. Under the raw fish tax, the three major companies, when do we receive the money from them?
So we receive the funds on the 15th of the following month. So if, for instance, we would receive July's fish tax on August 15th.
So tomorrow we'll get, and that money goes directly into direct deposit or we get a check or how does that work?
Typically it's done via a wire transfer.
Could you repeat that?
Yes, I said typically it's done via a wire transfer.
A wire transfer. Okay. And the reason I'm asking again is, sometimes, not pointing fingers at anybody in particular, but sometimes processors are late paying bills, including fishermen. But as far as you know, we're paid up full on the 15th every time.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Okay, and then of course we'll have another deposit. Maybe at the next meeting in a few days, you can update us. I think it'd be useful just to, feel comfortable, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, other questions?
This is Brenda. I'd just like to say that at the beginning when we see the budget and it's the beginning of the year, it always looks so nice and pretty and there's lots of money. So thank you very much. It looks good.
Thank you, Brenda. Other comments? Okay. Motion on question? Or question on motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. And in your packet, you have the investment report for your previewer. So, does anybody have any questions for Annie on the investment report? Hearing none. We have a consent agenda that has two resolutions on it, 2427 appointing election judges for October 3rd, 2023 regular borough election, and resolution 2408 appointing the canvas committee for the October 3rd, 2023 regular borough election. So we need a motion to bring in the consent agenda to the floor.
I make a motion to bring the consent agenda to the floor as presented.
Okay.
I'll second that. Second. Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Annie?
Well, yes, Mayor, I'll actually defer to Beverly.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Officer Rapp and Assembly. Resolution 2407 and 2408 are just routine resolutions that we have to do every year to establish our election judges and canvas committee for our October 3, 2023 election. This 2407 states all the election judges for each for King Cove, Sandpoint, and Acadine. However, I do have a correction on, last-minute correction on the Acadine election judges that was sent to me yesterday by Amanda. So instead of April Felty and Antoinette Grant, Acadine will have Amanda, Alice, and Sophia Lott as their election judges. And for our canvas committee, I have Robin Kinesarov, Kim Johansson, and Bobby Yushkin. And if you have any questions, let me know.
Questions from Beverly on the on either of the resolutions? Okay. So that correction will be made?
Uh-huh. Before bringing the resolution 2407.
And do we have to make a...
Amendment?
Amendment? To accept the language? Beverly's language?
Yes, I think so. I move to make a motion to amend ACATAP with Amanda Cherepona, Alice Cherepona, and instead of April Felty, have Eva...
If so, Kellogg.
Yes. It's Eva. And also on the judges for resolution 2408, a correction of the name of Bobby Newman to Bobby Dushkin.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
I'll second that.
Josie? Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Got to call the question on the amendment.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before you have the amended motion on the consent agenda. Any other comments or questions on the same motion?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Oh.
the last election, there was issues someone complained about votes being mailed in. Is that?
I'm sorry. Maybe we could do that during comments or whatever. But right now we're voting on a motion.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Oh.
Okay. So, are there any comments dealing with the amended motion? If not, question on the main motion.
Bailey.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Josie.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Chris.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Samantha.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Okay, before we go into public hearings, you want to go ahead and ask a question on the election?
Oh, okay, Alvin. I just remember last election, after the fact comment by a council member about flying in ballots or something, I was just making sure we maybe corrected something. Something you counted, if anybody can call.
Counting flying in ballots.
They had a false pass, they didn't get counted. I just recall someone's comment, you know what I mean? That there were possibly votes didn't get counted. I was trying to make sure that
we didn't receive the Assembly Jim. I did address that last year when we did a special meeting and a report that I did. The reason why there are some ballots that wasn't counted because we didn't receive the ballots at the deadline. We're supposed to receive them at a certain point date. If I didn't receive the ballots on that specific day, then they're not supposed to be counted.
Correct. Yeah, I was just making sure we don't have to comment after the fact. So, thanks.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So we're down to item 10, public hearing on Ordinance 2401, amending the operating and capital budget for FY24. We need a motion and a second.
Make a motion to bring Ordinance 24-01, amending the operating capital budget for 2024.
Okay. Thank you. We need a second.
I'll second that. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, it's back in assembly before you is Ordinance 2401. On May 18th, 2023, the Borough Assembly passed Ordinance 2306, adopting the operating and capital budget for FY24. The Borough has realized entered into a new fiscal year. However, revisions to the budget have already been identified. On August 17th, 2023, Ordinance 2401 was introduced to the Assembly proposing changes to the FY24 budget. Public hearing is scheduled for today. The changes that are being proposed is one to the Resource Department salary line item, increasing the salary line from $199,515 to $209,000. Currently, the Natural Resources Department is composed of a Natural Resources Director and an Assistant Natural Resources Director. The administration would like to revamp the department and have a Natural Resources Director and a Fishery Analyst position, which is more in line with what is occurring within the department today. So that was the first one. Please keep in mind that the budget amendment would increase the salary range. However, 40% of the position salary will be subsidized through a reimbursable grant for the next 3 years. The other two changes are to the state bond rebate school line item, which is in Fund 30, and the state bond rebate harbor line item, which is also in Fund 30. The first one would add to 330. Yeah.
Paul wants to interrupt. He's got to go back to something.
Yeah, well, and of course, I'm re- reading electronically the ordinance in front of me, and then you have a memo that explains the budget amounts, and it's hard to flip back and forth electronically to compare the two. But I don't know what the rest of the assembly, budget's a big deal, that's what the assembly does. But I'm on page one of the proposed FY24 budget. You have red ink and green ink, and I think for me it'd be useful, there's not very many of them, to highlight what the green and red is as you go, and then otherwise I have to flip back and forth to read your explanation, and maybe it's easier for other people, but I'm just, that's just a suggestion. I don't know what anybody else thinks. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. So I think what you're referencing is there is a like Excel sheet looking item in the packet. The increases are shown in green, which is what I was just kind of discussing, and any decreases are in red. And there's only one because there's a difference in the net revenue over expenditures. But the changes are, as I was saying, in the Natural Resources Department in the salary line item. There would be an increase of $9,485, and then in Fund 30, there is a change as well, which is adding $339,040 for the state bond rebate harbor line item, or schools line item, I guess. There's a typo there. And $420,842 for the harbor line item. I think I mixed those up in the agenda statement. Sorry about that. So there would be a change there as well.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, following along as you're speaking and with the green and red is helpful. And I think we've been doing that for a few years, and I find that useful, but I was able to follow you as you pointed out the red and green and without flipping back and forth. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is so, I'd like to also point out at the top of those pages, I know it's really, really small to see, but it says the increase in the budgets are shown in green and the decreases in the budgets are shown in red, and it's on the top of each page. In case anyone else is having issues, sorry.
Okay, so yeah, so those are the changes that are proposed. It does change our expected surplus will now be $823,067. So I guess with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Other questions for Annie on this on the public hearing?
No,
no,
sir.
Okay, at this time then we'll go ahead and open the public hearing on Ordinance 2401 for comment. Hearing none, I will at this time close the public hearing on Ordinance 2401, amending the operating and capital budget for FY24. So with that, question on the motion.
Bailey?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we don't have any ordinances before us. So we have one resolution, Resolution 2409, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dell to provide design and construction project management services for the Sandpoint School Deed Grant Project in an amount not to exceed $847,420. We need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor.
Motion.
I'll make that motion. This is Brenda.
Thanks, Brenda. Any second?
I'll second that. This is Josie.
Thank you, Josie.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, at the beginning of the ordinance on the agenda that's printed out to us, there was an advertisement for the job of fishery analyst. It's a three pages. Why was that there? I'm not sure why that was at the beginning of the ordinance.
And?
So if you read the agenda statement, it talks about creating that new position, and the draft job description was in there for your reference.
Oh, just for information purposes.
Yeah. It's once it's passed, then now it'll go out on the street for advertisement job. Because it's a new job.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Clarifying that.
Okay. Oh, Annie. Resolution 2409. Since we have it on the floor.
Yes, Mayor, I'll back in assembly. So before you is Resolution 2409 authorizing. One second. I'm sorry. Okay, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dell to provide design and construction project management services for the Sandpoint School Deed Grant Project in an amount not to exceed $847,420. So just to give a brief history of this project, on February 21st, 2023, the borough did sign a grant from the State of Alaska Department of Education and Early Development to conduct major maintenance at the Sandpoint School. The project will provide for renovations to the school and the pool, including improving the HVAC system, improving security, replacing the fire alarm, replacing intercom systems, and renovating the pool facility addition with upgraded restrooms and lockers, replacing metal roof and repair structures required, reconstruct or repair exterior walls, ventilation ductwork and controls, and improving the drainage. That grant was awarded in the amount of $2,968,577. The grant amount from the state was $1,929,575, and the participating share that the borough is responsible for was $1,039,002. So that there's a description of what and how the breakdown of those costs were, from construction management to design services, construction, et cetera. Immediately after the FY23 grant was awarded, please keep in mind this grant was submitted a couple years ago, and we just got it awarded, you know, a couple years later. So immediately after the grant was awarded, the district and the borough immediately faced a host of unexpected financial realities for this project. These issues, which have been largely caused by disruptions in the supply chain due to delays, out-of-date cost estimates, COVID-19 slowdowns, rising inflation, are the direct causes. But basically, there's been rampant inflation across the board for all construction projects. So we went back to the cost estimators, and we anticipated, you know, that project would increase at least 40%. And it did. It increased from the $2.9 million to being about $6.8 million to conduct this work. So a few things. The borough, CIRC, and Dow did just recently submit a state supplemental funding request that was due September 1st. We requested an additional $3,842,852 in funding to reach that $6.8 million item. This also increased our local match from the $1,039,000 to about $2.384 million. So we've got that supplemental funding request in. However, we still do have to conduct the work because we're already under an agreement with the state. So we need to move forward with this project. In order to do this, the borough needs to complete the design and conduct construction management during the life of the project. The borough did request a quote from Dow, whom we hired in September of 2020, and we're on our second year renewal, to give us a quote for this project. The state of Alaska said that met their standards and that Dow could be used for this project, and they provided a scope of work that has five phases and in the amount of $847,420. If the original grant and the supplemental grant request is funded, it would cover all the expenses for Dow in their entirety. But what we are recommending, the administration is recommending, is that you authorize the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dow to conduct design and construction management services for the borough in the amount not to exceed $847,420. This will lock Dow in and their subcontractors at their current fees. Part of the negotiation would include that the borough give a limited notice to proceed for phase one, which is the 35% design, in an amount not to exceed $113,266. So we go ahead and approve. During the negotiations, we just give a limited notice to proceed. And then phases two through five would be approved either if the state of Alaska funds the supplemental funding request or the borough provides the additional funding to complete the project through a different avenue. So with that, borough does recommend approval of this resolution. And if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Paul?
Thank you. And I just want to clarify the by passing this resolution, that means we're paying Dow $847,000. Is that basically what this resolution means?
Well, ultimately, yes. However, what I just stated is that you would authorize me to lock it in at this amount, and then we do a limited notice to proceed just for the first phase. Then once or if the supplemental funding request comes in, we'll go ahead and authorize phases two through five. If the funding does not come back in, I'll have to come back to the assembly to figure out and find more money, and then we'd authorize it at that time. So what we're trying to do is just lock in the contract, the Dow as the contractor and their subcontractors, which is like ECI, which is who's an architect, and a few others. And, you know, we want to lock them in at this rate because their rates continue to go up, too, just like everything else. So, yes, you'd allow us to negotiate. Part of that negotiation would be that we just give a limited notice to proceed, and that $113,000 will be paid with the current grant that we have.
And just a follow-up question really quickly is, under this project, the Deeds project, have we paid them any money so far? Now, have we paid Dow any money so far?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Have we paid Dow any amount of money so far for this project?
Yes, there was a separate agreement that I believe was approved by the assembly to have them do the site visit and a condition assessment. That was in about $46,000. They have completed that work. They've also done the cost estimation with a cost estimator, and they've helped with the design and other work for this project in the past.
Okay, thank you.
Other comments or questions on this? Okay. If there's no other questions, question on the motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
James?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We do not have any old business before us, but we do have new business. Strategic plan quarter two update. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, back in assembly. So as usual, we're at quarter two already of our current strategic plan. We did meet on January 11th, 2023, and we are in the second quarter, which ended August 31st of this year. So just there's a provision allocation chart for you to see, as well as kind of where we at our on projects. I'm not going to go into this in great detail, but this is just in here for your education. So if there is any questions, though, please let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
It looks fabulous. This is Brenda.
Thank you.
Lots of work has been done.
Other comments? Hearing none. Okay. We are down to... Oh, and Annie, my little charts are all updated to it, the squiggly lines.
Awesome.
So we're down to reports and updates. Annie.
Yes, so my report is in the packet for you. There's an update on the King Cove Road. I'm not going to go into this into great detail, but there is a lot going on, and there will be some decisions that will be needed to make in the future, but none at this moment in regard to litigation or anything like that. They are planning, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, to hold a government-to-government consultations with the Eggdale Tribe, the Belkoski Tribe, in King Cove on Monday, September 25th. So that will be an opportunity for the tribe members and other King Cove residents to offer testimony and ask questions about the Eisenbeck land exchange and road as part of this environmental process that we have to go through. So that is happening on the 25th. We're moving forward with the Sandpoint Harbor Float Project slowly, but we have basically all of our public comment requirements have been completed. So we finished our Section 106. And then we also had to do public notices on our website, Facebook page, and the Loop, et cetera. Comments were due on September 5th. We did not receive any comments, so we have met that requirement. And then they're making progress on this NEPA environmental assessment that has to be done, and I do anticipate to get a draft of that later this month. So I think we're on track to get that finished in the timeline that we have set, which is great news, because that means we're one step closer to going out to bid and construction. The other one is the Sandpoint Pool. Just so you guys are aware, on September 6th, I did sign a contract with Living Waters for a cost-plus contract in the amount of $114,590 to conduct a pretty big scope of work, which includes repairing water leaks for the pool mechanical system. This has to do with the recirculation pipe, which we think is the main culprit of the leak. So they will be heading out on September 18th to come and conduct that repair. Tali actually just got back. She's been attending a meeting with the pool folks, but we are planning on having them come out September 18th. Hopefully they can fix the problem that week. And then,
yes.
And then the pool hopefully will be up and running. We are also planning on installing a new flow meter, which the pool operators stated and was needed and was also identified in the report we received from Councilman and Hunsaker. So that was considered an emergency, so I went ahead and approved that, and then that will be charged to the ARPA line item that we have. A few updates on the False Pass Airport, but basically in May 2023, the state of Alaska issued a request for proposal for the False Pass Airport and the King Cove Runway Resurfacing Design Services. The state has reviewed the proposals. They've selected Dow for the work and will begin negotiating on the price soon. The state would like to have Dow conduct a site visit in False Pass and King Cove in October of 2023. And we do continue to encourage the state every chance we have to look at engineering options to lengthen the runway. And if a feasible option is identified, the Berlin City would like to have DOT to consider incorporating that solution into the project scope of work. Cold Bay Terminal, there has been some maintenance needs that have been identified. They're outlined here. I'm not going to go those in detail, but that scope of work has been sent out to two of our borough term contractors who are considered general contractors, if you will. So we're hoping that we can make some repairs there, and then we'll continuously keep on top of that so we're not in a situation where we've got some major issue with windows leaking or that's going to cost us a lot of money. So we'd like to go ahead and go in here and get these repairs fixed. And there is money in the Cold Bay budget line item as well as some permanent fund earning monies that we can use for this. I just don't have a cost yet. And then August 25th, we engaged Wire AK to conduct electrical repairs at the Falls Pass School. The cost of the work was $73,000 and it includes work on the fire alarm system, replacing expired exit signs, emergency lighting, some non-GFCI receptacles, and some work in the crawl space as well. So they are working on getting their items ordered, and then hopefully they'll be out there soon to work on that. I'll have Talia go over the boilers information here on her report. And then lastly, Laura's last day with us was September 1st. She has already started her new job, and I just wanted to say that I really do appreciate all the work she did for the borough. She did finish the annual report prior to leaving, which has since been distributed to the communities. I'm grateful for that. But I just want to make sure on the record that I thank her for all her hard work that she's done for us. And then lastly, there is the upcoming assembly meeting schedule for your review. There's the meeting today, of course. We will be having next Wednesday, September 20th, a financial work session that's located at APIA. The schedule will be going out, I believe, tomorrow, but it will begin at 9 a.m., so that will be at the APIA facility. And then we will be coming to the borough office for a meeting at 5 o'clock. That's a special meeting at that time. And then we also will be having a special meeting on Thursday, October 16th. So rather than having a meeting and then the certification of the election, we just combine the meetings into one. So that'll be the 16th, and then the November and December meetings are listed there as well. So if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Questions?
Yes, I have one. This is Tom in Falls Pass, if I may. Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
Is there anything from DOT on a definitive timeline for them coming out to Falls Pass, Annie?
No, they were just, all I've been told is that they're hoping to come out in October. So as soon as we find out more details, I'll let you know. But I think right now they're still negotiating the price with Dow for the design services, and then once that's settled, I think they said they'd like to come out in October.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
Hi, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this is Josie.
Go ahead, Josie.
Hi. I know this was brought up a couple meetings ago, but has there been any headway on the possibility of doing these meetings via Zoom, especially with the way the phone service is out here?
Yes. So all the equipment, like the video, TVs, all of that has been ordered. So now it's just a matter of getting it, the supplies. They're going to be shipped here to the Anchorage office, and then Glenora will be shipping them out individually to each community. And then we'll be working with ICE over the phone with someone in each community to have them installed. So I don't have a timeline yet. But they've been ordered. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions, Brad? Okay. Thank you. Talia.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. I am so glad I made it back on time. I'm going to start off with the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development D Grant. On September 1st, capital improvement projects and all associated documents were successfully submitted to DEED. In terms of next steps, DEED will now go ahead and go through the review process. We do anticipate to hear back from them November 5th, where DEED will publish their initial FY25 priority list, major maintenance and school construction, and then they'll notify the districts of any type of adjustments that they make. I will note that they are allowed to make adjustments to it, and most of the time they will, that usually means they lower the cost of the estimate. Once we receive their review, we will then go through the process. We'll have two options. Either we'll accept the priority list decision, or we can request reconsideration of deed's decision. If reconsideration is requested, a hearing date will be scheduled and the borough will have an opportunity to state its case. The key issues at this point are the project costs, and with reconsideration, the borough will work with CERC to draft a supplemental application to substantiate the technical cost difference of the project. And I will note, we do really anticipate the cost to be significantly more than what was awarded last year, which is why we're looking at options once we get these decisions. Moving on to the Health and Equitable Communities HEC grants. This is a grant where the borough is going to be working with or partnering with Eastern Aleutian Tribes to purchase and install the morgue for the City of False Pass and the Village of Nelson Lagoon. The State of Alaska is still in the review process of the approval letter that I did submit to them on August 8th. October 10th is when the next quarterly reports are due, and I have been told between now and then I should hear back from them on the decisions that they made, and then from there I can move on to the next phase of that grant. Councilman Hunsaker, just a quick recap. On June 12th and 13th, Councilman Hunsaker did conduct a site visit at the Sandpoint Pool. On June 26th, they did inform the borough, they did inform the borough they're ready to move on to the next phase of the scope of work, which is the maintenance plan. And speaking with Gal today, they did confirm they have everything that they need for the maintenance plan. They've got the commentary that they were requesting, and they're now in the review process. So between probably sometime this week, the borough and Leah Jager, who's the pool operator, will hear back regarding the maintenance plan and moving forward. With long boilers, progress has been made. They're doing a phenomenal job. On August 22nd, they did successfully complete maintenance and inspection on the boilers for the Cold Bay Terminal, as well as the King Cove School on August 23rd. September 6th, Long arrived in False Pass, and both boilers were successfully installed. In terms of Sandpoint and Accutane, they're scheduled to be out next week for Sandpoint School, and then the week of the 25th or the 27th for the Accutane School. ICE Services, on the 30th, I did sign into an agreement with ICE Services for two servers. A Dell Power Edge T550 will be installed in the Anchorage office, and that will be linked to the Sandpoint office. And then for King Cove, they'll have their own server. And ICE did confirm that this will not affect Laserfish, and I'm thinking about you, Jackie. This will not affect Cassell at all. So we thought about you greatly when we made this decision. Moving on to maintenance connection, I am planning and hoping to travel out to the region, hopefully the first week of October, with authorization and permission from the new superintendent, if it works out with his schedule, to teach the personnel how to effectively use the maintenance connection site and turn in work orders. And then last but not least, I have my regular meetings that I've attended, and if anyone has any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia. Questions for Talia? Paul?
Talia, the two servers you're mentioning in your report, they're taking the place of what?
The old servers are currently in the end of their lifespan, and they need to be replaced. So we've gone ahead and decided to get two new servers in preparation for that, since we are in need of a new one.
Okay. I didn't know if we were in the cloud in the past or had our own servers. Thank you for clarifying that.
No problem.
Other questions for Talia?
Yeah, one comment here, Warren Kinkle.
Go ahead, Warren.
Yeah, we just wanted to kind of add to Paul's, or answer Paul's question for him. He's worried about the servers now. And Jackie gave us a comment that they started hers up not long ago and it went up in a puff of smoke.
Is that good? Is that good or bad?
What's that? Was it white or black?
I don't know. Anyway, for Paul, on Paul's report on boilers, I had an email today that the rest of the equipment, tools, whatever, to rebuild the boiler here in Sackpoint are here at base, and I think that's one of the things they were waiting for, and they know that, so they're scheduled to be here on the 18th to start work on that, to get that boiler back up and running. So, and that's going to be a big relief to us, because we have to go over there every morning and bail the place out to add water just about. Anyway, thank you, Talia.
Thank you.
Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Assembly, my report is also in the packet. Hope you get a chance to look at it. Talk about the Board of Fish and agenda change requests have been posted. There are two that would impact the South Peninsula fishing, ACR 2 and ACR 3. We don't think that they meet the criteria that the Board has set up for themselves to accept an ACR. Actually, the staff comments from the department are out, and they don't believe that they meet the criteria either. They only accept an ACR for conservation, to correct an error in regulation, or an unforeseen effect that happened when a regulation was adopted. And they won't accept one that's predominantly allocative. If an ACR is accepted, it will be put into one of the regular meetings, either in Homer, Kodiak, or the Upper Cook Inlet meeting in Anchorage. Comments are due September 27th, and we will be having a meeting after the financial workshop, I think on Thursday, is what we decided we'll do a Zoom with some of the fishery stakeholders and processors, and we'll probably get that word out soon. There are new members on the board this cycle. That would be Jared Godfrey, who is actually an old member, Greg Svensson from Anchorage, and Mike Wood. And so I know some of the fishery groups are looking to make some meetings with them. The proposal books for the Board of Fish are out, although they don't have anything for our area. The Board of Game proposals are out. And then there's a joint board proposal meeting in March, and those proposals are out, and those proposals mostly deal with advisory committees, but also the process for submitting proposals. Again, that meeting will be in March. Council, North Pacific Council, they've got a few things going on. The big thing probably is setting crab specs. We're actually hoping that there will be a Bristol Bay Red King crab season, but that we won't know until the first week in October. As a few other things, the government shutdown, if there is one, would likely impact that meeting, but there would still be a meeting. I've listed some of the opportunities to comment. And then on the second page of my report, I talk about fishery disaster declarations because the topic keeps coming to my office. I'm not advocating that we declare a disaster, but I'm certainly open to helping with that process. And we talk about the process. There's a possibility that it would be accepted if we submitted one. Anyway, there's information on fishery disaster declarations, and I can answer more questions on that. And there's a lot of meetings. I didn't put some of the meetings. There's a Unangan listening session on environmental justice that I didn't put on here that I have registered for. If some of you, I hope, are also attending that meeting, I think it's at the Egan Center. So if you need information on that, let me know. And I can answer any questions. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie? Paul?
Yeah. Ernie, there's a meeting. I'm sure you've heard about it. The crab meeting in Seattle tomorrow. Can you fill in any details if you have anything?
So the crab planting has been meeting this week. They were meeting today, and they're done tomorrow. There is maybe the PNCAC meeting might be tomorrow. I'm not sure about the meeting you're talking about there, but I have been monitoring the crab planting this week.
Okay, maybe it's a little vague. My information is sketchy, so I'm just certain they're having one, but there was no information with that information at all. I have no decision forthcoming that I know for the currency, but maybe soon. Yeah, thank you.
Other?
Ernie, this is Tom. Yeah.
Sure, Tom, go ahead.
Hey, I know it's a little early for the Barada in the South Alaska Peninsula, but have you heard anything on that?
I can defer. No, we haven't heard anything. It's possible that Charlotte has more information, but no, I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen the survey or anything.
Interesting. Other questions? Ernie, you said you're going to set up the meeting on the 22nd.
We're looking at
21st,
Thursday next week, Zoom meeting.
Okay. And you might think about, since the whole assembly is going to be out there, and I think most of them are going to be flying on the 21st, going back home, if the assembly wants to participate in that, they're going to be in the air probably on that day.
Oh, well, we could make it on the 22nd. It was either one of those 2 days. But really, it's just to talk about comments. And I think, for the most part, the borough will submit one comment letter. I'm trying to get the ACs to get involved. The problem is none of the coordinators, well, we lost our regional coordinator, Taryn O'Connor Brito, but none of the coordinators are working until probably Monday. And you have to set up a meeting about a week ahead of time, and so it's really... Anyway, we're just... The Zoom meeting will just be about submitting comments, and so I don't think the assembly needs to attend, but we can make it for Friday next week. We can make it for earlier in the week, actually. But I was trying to wait for after that financial workshop. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's good to wait till after it, and it might be good to think about the 22nd, because all of your... Assembly may have interest in attending it.
The assistant director will set up that Zoom meeting for the 22nd.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Other comments, Paul?
Yes, sir. Ernie, there's this month, I believe, Lock Marine Highway System is going to bid again with the cost of being a replacement. Have you heard anything?
I know there's two meetings. Well, one, is it today? No, they're having, and I don't have them. Well, I have them on my report. Yeah, there's one on the 14th, 15th, one today. That was for our area. But you can call in tomorrow for the one for the Kodiak and Homer area for Perry focus groups. And really what they're about, I don't know. But our meeting was today. But they said you can go ahead and sign into anyone. And I can send that information out if people want to call in. You probably already have it, though.
Yeah, I was just thinking perhaps, depending on what the state actually does, a resolution of the next meeting or two may be in order if we could coordinate with that Charver and Kodiak. Thank you.
Anything else for Ernie? Okay. Charlotte.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So I will dive right in. I'm not going to talk too much about the details of electronic monitoring, but just to say the pollock is kind of going slow, and so we'll probably have an extended season. So I'm doing a bit of juggling with observer coverage, but I think we're going to be fine. So working on that, we've had techs go out to the communities to work on the boats, so that was good. NIMS and Janet Coit did confirm that we will get headquarters Murkowski funding to cover 2024 and 2025. of the EM program, and I've just heard that it'll be about $700,000 each year for the partial coverage fleet, and that'll cover data review and EM costs. So partnering with Alaska Groundfish Data Bank to submit the final NIFWIS proposal, the real final NIFWIS proposal for the GAP next year, so the borough will administer it, and we'll just kind of partner with them. Just collecting last-minute costs to try to get that together. We are getting very close to the regulated program. There's a lot of reg writing going on right now, so I'm working with NIMS to kind of review the different chunks of the regs as they write them, and the most recent one is the catch monitoring control plans for the processors, so I'm kind of working on that. I did get a commitment from NIMS that they'll personally do walkthroughs of the Western Gulf plants, so all three, Peter Pan, Trident, and Silver Bay, prior to regulatory implementation. So for salmon, I am still working on kind of odds and ends things, collaborating with the Saners. I'm working on a supplementary report for the Board of Fisheries members prior to the work session next month. There's a really good one that I talked to Matt Keyes about, and he did go ahead and publish it, so I linked it in my report. But that, that he did a great job of doing kind of a June summary of what happened with the fleet and the numbers, so I encourage you to go take a look. And I am still working with Core Data to build some standardized metrics into the portal so that we can have sort of ongoing reporting for next year instead of waiting until the end of the season. And also maybe building in some analytical tools for that reporting, so that's kind of cool. For the tagging project, so the project team is kind of all back in town, so we've reinstated our weekly meetings. And as I mentioned previously, there were a lot of logistical challenges using the NIMS bottom trawl surveys in the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea to execute some of the research. So I think going forward, we probably won't use the survey vessels to try to get tags out. We only got three out around Kodiak, and none were released in the Bering Sea. So we're kind of looking to collaborate with local vessels or maybe the freezer longliner fleet up in the Bering Sea who might be willing to do more of a charter-based situation like we've done in the Gulf to get those tags out. One interesting bit is for our 2023 releases that we put out this year, we had 20 early pop-ups of the tags in which four of the fish in the Shumagins and Sanak area did move north to the Bering Sea. So we're already seeing an increase in fish moving from what we saw last year. And so that's pretty cool to see. And we're also seeing a little bit of exchange of fish across the 610-620 boundary, so the Central Gulf, Western Gulf, which research has previously shown there was not exchange across those areas. So that's actually pretty interesting to see. But there's still a bit of error around the movement, so we need the rest of the tags to come in to see what really is going on, but that's kind of interesting. And we're also working with Core Data to build out our outreach website, which will be interactive, so people will be able to go and actually click on any given fish and see the movement pathway of every single fish. You'll get to see when it was released, when it was recovered. You'll get to see temperature data. It'll be super cool. So we're getting started with that. In other news, I was just kind of helping put together some slides for the financial workshop on our projects. I did just attend my first North Pacific Research Board AP meeting this week, which I had so much fun. There's a lot of really interesting research going on, so I got to review probably 20 proposals of big research projects that are starting to get funded in the Gulf and the Bering Sea, and even the Arctic, so that was pretty cool. I still have not received a representation letter from Joe Sullivan regarding the AFA Pollock analysis, but I will keep you posted on how that goes. He had some unforeseen personal issues, so we'll keep working on that. The last thing is, as Trawl EM kind of winds to a close, I'm sort of looking at other possible projects, and I get a lot of repeated concerns from stakeholders regarding the Cold Bay Russell Creek crossing that I'd love to talk to Daly about, maybe. So I've gotten some feedback over the last several years about the erosion that's happening and how it's increasingly difficult for people to cross Russell Creek to get to subsistence opportunities for hunters, for locals. So it's something I'm kind of curious about. We might have some funding options for that. And the other one is kind of reinstating the Cooperative Pollock Acoustic Survey. So we've got, I get calls from both all the time asking about that project, and I think next year might be the year to pick it back up. So anyways, that's all I have, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Charlotte. Questions for Charlotte? Charlotte, on that Cold Bay crossing on Russell Creek, maybe we should ask Fish and Wildlife Service if they would want to donate to that, because I lived back there in the 70s and was always very concerned about anything that goes on over there. Maybe they would help fund something for it.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, thank you. I think that's absolutely the way to go. And in fact, Fish and Game put me in touch with Fish and Wildlife Service to kind of pick up where they left off. It's my understanding that they have tried to address that in the past, and for some reason that project got dropped. But they do have some history trying to deal with it. So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Jackie.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yes, Mayor Astorbach and Assembly. My report is in the packet. I'm currently working on finishing up the documents needed for our FY23 audit. We're waiting for just a handful of items to get wrapped up from the bookkeeper, such as depreciation and amortization schedules of the leases, and booking our last balance transfers. The auditors will be here in the last week of September to conduct their field work. Cassell is still working on mapping the BDS data. We need to create a chart of accounts that kind of aligns with a typical chart of accounts that's more used in their system. And our chart of accounts has been in place for so long, it's kind of a lot to look at, and it's kind of chaotic when you're trying to map out a new way for a new system. So that's what we're working on right now, is just getting them lined up so that we make sure everything transfers where it needs to be, and which is going to be nice, because with the right setup, we're going to be able to analyze our data more efficient without having to look in different places. And like now, typically, if I have to look up anything for any capital asset costs, I have to look in several different places. It would be really nice to be able to just pull up a report that includes all of the expenses that are booked to capital assets. So I'm pretty excited about that. It just takes a while to get it set up right. I've been busy working on items for the financial work session, finishing up the presentations they're finishing up. It's just a matter of making sure we have all the data that we need within them. And still having financial policies and procedures to work on throughout the time. I am currently looking at the policies and procedures for payroll processing. The processes are there, they're just not, written down in writing yet, and so I wanted to make sure that they're formalized and it has all the necessary internal controls. The July financials were presented at the meeting, and August data is soon to be completed. We're just waiting for the last of our receivable data for the month. And I will be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie, for your report there. Are there questions for Jackie? Okay. Okay, thank you. I guess we have Assembly of Comments next. So Assembly wants to talk.
Good.
Okay. Public comments.
Hey, Alvin, Chris here. I didn't get fast enough on when you asked for comments from the council. I know that Beverly sent out a couple of weeks ago about the per diem stuff. What is actually the per diem that we're getting from the borough when we need to travel on the borough's dime?
Yeah, so back, can we, Jackie, would you be able to answer that?
Yeah, I can answer that. So the per diem amount, since it's just a flat rate, is based on any night that you are required to be out of your house overnight. So it would be the night that you are gone, you would get that flat rate.
What is the flat rate?
It was decided at that last meeting, I think it was at $374 overnight.
Okay.
So the first night that you're gone, you'll get the $374. If you're on a second night, you get $374. If you're on a third night, so it goes by overnight travel. So, like, the day that you're in your house and you're able to sleep in your own bed, you don't get paid for, but the days that you're not, you get paid for.
No, the reason I asked was because they were asking about, again, about should we do what the government rate does then we get stuff from IRS and all that. And I thought we had agreed on a flat rate. And so I was a little bit, I didn't quite understand that email that we had gotten. So
in order to not get anything from the IRS, an expense report needs to be created, which is done internally here, that you guys don't have to worry about it. And we go with that flat rate based on the purpose of travel. So, like, if you decide to leave or stay longer, that's your decision, but we go based on the date of the travel before the purpose of travel, the day of the travel, and the day after, because that's what needs to be on the expense report.
Okay. That's all I got.
One question from Warren here. So if we were to hold a meeting in Anchorage in the summertime when the rates are up at $450 a night at any hotel, would we just like to have to reimburse the guy for the overages, or how, you know, just to get it clarified, because everybody gets scared off when we think that, well, even in the winter sometimes, it depends on where you want to stay, your hotel is up pretty high nowadays. So what would you do on that, Jackie, or, well, Alvin?
So the best option, I would say, if it's in a concern of hotel rates, would be to modify the way in which you get paid, where you're being reimbursed for the cost and then getting a per diem of the meal allowance only, and not do a flat rate. Because that would be the way where you could book a hotel, get the cost reimbursed to you for the fee of the lodging, and then you would get the meal rate. Without having to pay anything out of your pocket. But now the way that it was set up the last time we had the per diem discussion is just the flat rate. You guys would have to have a different discussion on trying to modify the way that it does. I mean, because the employees go at it at the DOI rates. That way we only get reimbursed meal fees. Or we only get per diem for meal fees, and all of our other costs are paid for at a reimbursed rate.
Is any of that, like, put on a, like, a company credit card or something, instead of, like, the person paying for it?
I think that just depends on the hotels, because, like, other hotels, some hotels
That's
won't let you
rate,
check in.
Government rate?
Yeah, some hotels won't let you check in if the card you're giving them isn't your card.
Yeah.
So what you would do, if you were to switch the per diem policy to go by the government rate, you would book your hotel, request the amount of lodging fees with your receipt, and then we would be able to reimburse you the lodging fees with that matches the item of the receipt and give you the meal fees.
Have they ever talked about possibly having a contract with a certain hotel? I know that some places have a contract.
Yeah, not that I know of.
Yeah, okay. No, it's just something out there, because like Ward said, there's really no such thing as really winter rates anymore. I mean, when I went to book a hotel for, even when we go out here in September, you know, everybody said, oh, after the 15th of September, all the prices go down. Well, they didn't go down. So, it's something that, you know, we're going to have to pay attention to. And I am glad that we are talking about going to the Zoom stuff, because I think that's gonna help a lot out too. Because it's getting real expensive to travel anymore. So.
Okay. We've had quite a discussion over this per diem issue, and it got set up the way it is by the wishes of the assembly. And like Jackie was telling you, any of the staff, employees, the only thing they get is whatever the government per diem rate is on that particular day. So the assembly had decided they wanted a flat rate, and at the time there was a discussion about winter travel and summer travel, and that was talked about and accepted. But we could go back if you need them. We could probably find the minutes from those meetings where some of that was discussed. But if that's something you guys want to take another look at and bring back up, then we'd have to schedule it for another assembly meeting, because we really can't do anything with it at this time. So, any other assembly comments? Okay. I have a little note from the clerk. So Tom, you need to
stay on the line.
Maybe when everybody signs off, if you stay on the line and talk to the clerk for a minute, can you do that?
Tom.
Can you leave already? Tom, are you on here? He must have known. Anyway, okay. All right, so are there any, we already went through the public comment period, so, and again, remember, September 20th, special meeting at APIA, and then 5 o'clock, the work session starts at the Toro office in Anchorage, and I think they're going to provide us with dinner there also at that time, sandwich or something. That's our next meeting date is the 20th, and then as Annie pointed out, the regular meeting was moved to October 16th, and that would be for the canvassing?
Special meeting.
Yeah, for canvassing, and it'll also include our regular meeting at that time. So, unless there's any other comments, Paul?
Just a quick question about the meeting on the 20th. Air traffic has been kind of iffy yesterday. They've been canceled. However, Ocean Air did fly. But if this meeting on the 20th, that's a in-person meeting. We have to be in Anchorage to attend the meeting. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe that's what you've set it up.
And so, I'm just wondering what plan B is if for some reason air traffic's kind of messed up for a couple of days and we don't make it, or there's not a quorum on that day. What's the plan for a hand like that?
What plan for me? Yeah. Is that you, Beverly?
I would have to recommend we probably have to reschedule it. It's really important everybody's in person.
So we would extend it a day. We would just call a meeting to order and table.
Mr. Mayor, this is Tom. My phone dropped the call. I'm back online.
Oh. Tom, since you're back. So anyway, when we're all done, we were talking about you really in a good way. But anyhow, Beverly, the clerk would like you to stay online after we sign off. She has some questions for you. Could you do that?
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Give me just a couple minutes. So I guess we'll figure it out when we get there. But, yeah, we kind of want everybody to be at this meeting, because I think for the future and the stuff that we're going to do in the borough, you know, I feel that's really important for all of the assembly to be there, because as we move forward, a lot of what you're going to learn in this meeting is going to help you make the decisions that we have to make as we move forward.
So we're going to make every effort we can to make sure everybody's there. That's the only thing to it. Yeah, there you go. So, any other questions or comments? Okay, so with that, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved, this is Josie.
Okay, thank you, Josie. The stronger speedy. So, thanks, everybody.